Welcome to the Godfathers of Podcasting. Now, in case y'all didn't know, they've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider, and you can find video archives, merch, and more on their website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, here are your hosts, two guys who have been broadcasting online since 1996, the Godfathers of Podcasting themselves, Donnie Da Silva and Chris Tidwell.
Like to thank all of you for taking the time to come and hang out with us tonight. Like the introduction said, my name is Donnie, and that man next to me, he is my longtime partner. We go together like spinach dip and pumpernickel, like milk and cookies, like Ebenezer Scrooge and Bob Cratchit. That is Chris Tidwell. What's up, dude?
I don't know if I agreed to the use of long lifetime partner.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest at this point, you know? Like, my relationship with you lasted longer than my marriage, so, you know.
Well, you know what? My relationship with you has lasted longer than my relationship with my own mother. Which really wasn't hard. I mean, you know, it was 15 years. That's all the time I put in for that one.
Right. So, there you go.
Don't get it twisted. I still talk to her and I love her to death and everything like that. But I mean, as far as like that, you know, that stretch of time, that was the first 15 years of my life. And then that was it. Done.
I've probably had more intimacy with you than I did with my.
Whoa. It was one time.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, we are running late tonight, so how about we skip the pleasantries and get to this week's featured 100%. Guest, because he's been patiently waiting for us.
100%.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time right now for the last big hello of the year, and this week's guest is back with us after almost exactly 2 years since his last appearance on the show. Since that time, he's been busy, having directed 3 more films and a TV show, adding to his already massive resume. He even went and added a couple more acting credits to that IMDb page since we last chatted. Of course, as great a director and producer as he is, it is his work as an actor that made Canadians initially fall in love with him. It all started way back in 1987. Ronald Reagan visited West Berlin and delivered a speech calling for Gorbachev to bring down the wall. Red M&Ms had just been reintroduced to the world after an 11-year ban. A pound of bacon was only $1.69. And this man kicked off his entertainment career as a principal cast member on the iconic television series known as Degrassi. His character, Archie Simpson, affectionately known as Snake, was a key piece of the Degrassi engine from that season in 87 all the way to the franchise ended in 2017. Just 2 weeks ago, the entire Degrassi legacy was inducted into Canada's Walk of Fame. As I said off the top, though, he's done so much more than Degrassi. His latest project is a film he directed called Twisted Nature. Neighbor. We'll talk to him about that and whatever else is on his mind as we hit the final interview of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, he was on the show way back when. We loved him last time, so he's back again. He was acting real chill. He's almost zen. If they make Barbie 2, he should be a Ken. Now give it up for Canadian legend Stephen Brogren.
Hi. Wow, that was quite the introduction. I'm flattered, impressed, and like just off the top of your head, right? Just like
all that stuff I was saying earlier about I need to find my notes had nothing to do with that.
Nothing to do with it. No, you had red M&Ms in the back of your back pocket this whole time.
I was off the top of my head. I was thinking, what was 1987 like? Let me think.
Red M&Ms and the wall in Berlin coming down. Sure.
And Degrassi. Okay.
And Degrassi, yeah.
Those were the big core moments. Tid had just had his 40th birthday. It was a big deal.
Wow. I was still, in 1987, I was still underage, and still living legally in the state of Nevada in 1987.
Oh, wow.
It was 1988 that it all went to shit. Well, depending on the time, because there's a time between getting arrested, going to court, and then leaving. So, yeah, no, it could have been 87.
That's his whole own podcast, I think.
Yeah, that's a separate
thing. He has that podcast. It's called TikTok. Y'all can check it out on YouTube.
That's right. Absolutely.
Hey man, thanks for hanging out with us. How are you? It's been a while.
I'm good. It's that weird time right before the holidays where everything feels really slow. Mm-hmm. And also you still haven't done half of your Christmas shopping, and there's no reason for you not to have done it by now. But
so let me ask you this. Are you a go out and shop, or are you an online everything Amazon delivered to the doorstep?
I would say, well, this is the truth. My wife, Michelle, that you guys know, is not in town right now. So I'm responsible for a lot of that stuff. She would usually do the Amazon Edge, I think, and sort of like go with the Amazon orders. I'm basically like looking to find stuff wherever I can and go like, okay, I got something for my parents. That's like, it's, you know, it's so sad. It's like, so I'm a partner in a bar and we just got new merch. So they're all getting bar merch for Christmas, and they'll be happy as they'll all get sweatshirts and they'll all feel good about it. They'll love it. So
wait, is this new partner in a bar?
No, I've been a partner in a bar for, it's called the Dog and Bear. It's on Queen Street. Just down from the Drake Hotel. I've been like, since they opened, I was there when like they asked me to be, you know, a financial backer in a sense, since like back in, it's been 12 years now.
Oh, wow. And I did not even realize that you were part of that.
Yeah, it's been an amazing experience. I eat there way too much, and the staff will tell you. But yeah, no, that we've been around. It's like the best sports bar in Toronto, as far as I'm concerned. But it's also the only sports bar in that neighborhood. So we have a lot of regulars that show up, and it's the coziest bar I think on Queen Street. It's huge, but it's cozy. Mm-hmm. It's got a nice warmth to it. But that's
awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, next chance I get, I'll get you guys some merch too.
Dude, I will rock it.
See, that's what my parents are going to say. They're going to love it. I know it for sure. As soon as I told Michelle, I was like, I'm just going to get my parents like new Dog and Bear sweatshirts. She's like, well, I want one too. You know, it's like, okay, just one thing at a time, please. Let's get past
it. I'm having trouble though imagining Michelle ordering off Amazon. Like, I didn't think they had Balenciaga on Amazon.
It's so funny how Michelle's tastes have changed in the last little bit. I think it's also being in London so much, where she's like, Balenciaga's done. It's like, it's now more about like not showing the label. It's just about like, I'm like, okay, I wish we'd had this conversation years ago. We could have saved so much money.
But is bar merch the weirdest gift that you've ever given out?
The weirdest?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'm trying to think what, like, I wasn't giving my friends and loved one dildos, if that's what you're asking. That's a weird gift, right?
Right.
So like, I mean, I don't.
Your mom.
So I gave my father.
Where do I go with that?
I gave my father-in-law once a, 18 by 24 framed picture of one of my 8x10s from wrestling.
That's amazing.
That's was it hysterical. One of the ones where your face is covered in blood and you're holding the plunger covered in barbed wire?
Was it no, those? It wasn't that one. It was one of the forearm tongue hanging out. It was fantastic. It was just totally ridiculously stupid thing. And he's got to unopen this thing and just looking at it. And he's like, And then one year, because this is what I do, one year I gave him a nice fleece blanket because he's built like a wind chime. So he gets chilly sometimes, right? And so I gave him this nice fleece blanket, but it's got a picture of my face on it.
That's funny. I gave my dad a framed picture of Ricky Gervais once for Christmas.
Okay.
Because he was a big Ricky Gervais. It was Ricky Gervais, but like a Russian general. Like his face had been put on, and I thought my dad would like it. He was like, "What the hell is this?" But it hangs in their house. It does hang in their house, not in the main area. But it's on a wall somewhere where, you know, friends and family don't have to see it. That might have been the weirdest thing I ever gave him. But I thought he'd love it. He was like, this is just odd.
It's amazing. You know what's funny? Tid, you mentioned the 8x10. So just last night, my son was sitting here with me actually in this chair because he loves playing with all my equipment, right? In the studio area. He loves doing,
hey, what's going on, guys?
Like, he likes doing that stuff. But
I can tell Chris loves that.
Yeah. He says to me, so who's on your podcast tomorrow? And I said, oh, Snake from Degrassi. He goes, oh, he was on your show before. I said, yes. And he says, and it was around this time of year. I said, yeah. How did you remember that? He said, because you guys talked about Mandalorian coming out. Ah. I was like, wow, like the memory on this kid.
That's how kids now, or I bet that's how we all have been as far as like measuring time. I think I used to measure time in Happy Days episodes when I was a kid. It's like kind of going like, this French class will be over in 2 Happy Days. Okay, we're halfway through the first Happy Days. Okay. That's how I think I measure time for a bunch of years. Yeah.
The other thing,
because it went by so fast as a TV show. So if I thought about it that way, the class was going to go by fast.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Well, insight.
Because you could never binge Happy Days and go, that took too long.
No, it was after school. It's like, you know, you only had so many options. It was like Happy Days and Leave It to Beaver and Doctor Who. And, you know, so, but everything was a half hour. So like, and it always went by too fast. And so I just started measuring anything that was like going too long. I was like, oh my God, it's only 2 Happy Days. It's only 2 Happy Days.
I actually love hearing what you watched after school, because as I've said before, when I came home from school, I was watching Degrassi.
Right. Yes. No, it was for me like Happy Days, Three's Company, Doctor Who, Leave It to Beaver. I don't think I went any older than that. Like I couldn't get into like the My Three Sons or things like that. Oh. Leave It to Beaver was, Leave It to Beaver is so strange to watch. I don't know. I mean, it's just so.
Especially like, today.
What father says is right. You should have done that the first time, sort of thing, you know. And
it's bizarre by comparison to today's societal standards and norms.
But it's addictive.
Those are considered, quote, the good old days, though. Come on, guys.
That's when America was great again.
The first time.
America was great.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they wanted to be like.
I was going to say, the other thing my son mentioned last night, Tid, was he loves to Google people, and he Googled you. He had never Googled you before, Tid, and he found one of your old promo shots where you're covered in blood from a wrestling show and you're holding a plunger that's wrapped in barbed wire. So my 11-year-old sees this and says, "Tid's gross."
I mean, he could have come to that conclusion without the picture. I have known the kid his entire life.
He ain't wrong.
I never said that.
He's astute. Hey, you mentioned Happy Days. Is Henry Winkler like the sweetest man in the history of Hollywood? I think you're on mute, Stefan.
Hold on. We got him.
What happened? We lost him. He's on mute.
Their mic isn't connected.
Uh-oh.
You must have hit something on your computer there that unhooked your mic. But that's okay. We do this all the time. We're trained professionals in this.
Hello?
Oh, there he is.
Man, it wouldn't be a show with the Godfathers of Podcasting if I didn't fuck up with... we don't swear on the show, do we?
Yeah, fuck, I don't care.
I mean, we don't.
Okay, now...
Body melt on you.
You can still hear me, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that, guys.
No worries.
I would say, though, So I have met Henry Winkler once. Mm. We were doing a Comic-Con in Vancouver, and he was right beside us. And literally the loveliest man, like the loveliest man.
Right?
And was so nice to Michelle, my wife. And like at one point, his wife and Michelle just started hanging out and walking around and like just checking out stuff. And she told me the best story of like that night. She's like, so we're going around and we're overhearing some of the people at one of the booths. And they're like, oh, so I mean, who do you want to even check out here? It's like, I don't know. Did you see the Fonz is here? Oh my God, who wants to see the Fonz? And she's like, I do. He's my husband. Like right to their faces. And it was just like, and walked away. I was like, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
I can imagine the look on Michelle's face going, I love this woman.
Oh my God. They fell in love for a minute there. Yeah. And at the very end, Michelle had to, I think Michelle either left early because she had a show. She had a comedy show there while I was doing the Comic-Con. And so she left early. And so we were there for 2 days, I think, it was like a 2-day, weekend thing. And I just said, I'm going to buy a picture off you for Michelle that I'd love for you to sign. And he's like, you're not buying a picture for Michelle. We love Michelle. We're totally going to give her one. Which one should we do? I'm like, you have a picture. Can I get one of the Fonz jumping the shark? And he's like, absolutely. And I was like, like he had all, you know, his options, right? And so I got him to sign the one. And he's just like, he said the loveliest thing about Michelle. And I gave it to her. She's like, oh my God, that's amazing. She's like, I don't really know why. What is this all about? What's the shark thing? I'm like, you're jumping the shark. She's like, what are you talking about? You know when people say they jumped the shark?
Yeah, we know. Yeah.
This is what I'm telling to her. I'm like, it's because of this. She's like, you've got to be kidding.
Oh, she didn't
my
know
God.
That.
No, she didn't have a clue. It just became so much more special. You know, not a clue.
You didn't look across the bar when you saw her and think to yourself, she's going to get it. She looks like a smart one. That's not what any of us think when we like, so you tell me these things, it's not a surprise.
But you know what? She's very good on the pop culture stuff. So I figured she would know. And that was just like way over her head. Just
it's
blew
the
her mind.
Iconic statement in pop culture, is it not? Is there?
It is literally how we explain when something's gone too far,
right?
You know, like that's you're jumping the shark there. Let's just like go. You know, it's and we all know what it is. Maybe I guess it's been long enough that we just don't know what the reference is, actually comes
Holy
from.
Holy shit!
Actually, the reference originated with Howard Stern producer John Hine, because he wrote the book where he first coined the term jumping the shark.
Interesting.
And he talked about when shows have that moment where it's like a good show, all of a sudden it has that moment where it turns into dog shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen.
But we all know what he was talking about. Like the literal of what he was talking about was when Fonzie jumped the shark tank. Like,
yeah,
it was literally what he was writing about, and we all know that. Do you think that these kids nowadays, like anybody born under 2000, do you think that they don't know what this stuff
is? They don't know who I am, okay? Like, I'm trying to explain the Fonz. He's the guy from Barry, as far as they're concerned, you know? I don't know if I told you guys this last time. So, you know, I did a Drake video, which I love to throw in there every once in a while. Yes. The kids didn't have a clue that I was directing the show Holly Hobby.
Right.
And the word got out that I was going to be in a Drake video. Excuse me, guys. And they were like, we just heard that you're going to be in a Drake video. I'm like, yeah. Why? I'm like, well, but I worked with him. What? Rapping?
Yeah.
No. Drake used to be an actor on this show called Degrassi. And it blew their mind. Like, honestly, it was like, I don't think they could, like, I think, like, they were 13, right? And this is about 6 or 7 years ago, maybe six
they're
years
like,
ago.
That I like, that video. Were you his lawyer?
Yeah. Well, I was the director, so they figured maybe he directed a music video, but why is he putting you in the video? And I'm like, I have acted as well. And it's like, it was a revelation, I remember at the time.
Well, we should have told him you were like Puffy. You were like the new Puffy.
I would
videos.
I would tell them that anyways. I don't need to.
And really blow their mind because they're like, who the hell is that?
Yeah, I'm Puff Daddy. You didn't know that?
You know what's funny is today I was actually talking to a colleague at the corporate gig, and she's young. You know, she's like a millennial, young millennial, borderline Gen Z type.
Right.
And she listens to the podcast every now and then. And she says, oh, who's your guest tonight? And I said, oh, it's Stefan Brogren. Oh, I'm not sure I know that name. And I said, oh, he's a director and he was on Degrassi, like, you know, forever. She goes, Degrassi. And she's just drawing a blank. She goes, oh, is that really old? And I'm like, yes. Right. And she goes,
oh, yeah, that old. It's 2017. We're not talking about like decades, you know, it's like, but it's
really
so funny.
Show with Drake. So she had no knowledge.
Oh, 100%. It's insane. And it's like, it happens with like it. They've moved on to the next thing so quickly now that there's no, the references make zero sense after like Wheelchair Jimmy is, that means nothing to them as far as like, you know, the history of the show. I mean, it is a necessary thing to happen that people grow out and they have their own shows, but this is the thing also. It's like you were saying, after school, you would watch it after school, right? Mm-hmm. I thought the show was over at that point. I didn't think anyone would know who I was. I would go away to school in the States. I'd come back and it's bigger than ever because it's in reruns. They do show Degrassi, Next Generation especially, a lot. Yeah. On like, so if you're scanning down, it's like on YTV, MTV, Much Music, if that still exists or whatever it is. But like, you can always see them. They got like five episodes in a row. And And now Amazon has the whole damn thing from right back from Kids Of. And so there are kids that discover it. There are kids that love it. I had, like, when I do the Comic-Con things, there's kids that are obsessed with, like, Elle from Stranger Things. They're dressed like Elle from Stranger Things, but right. They're there because they want to talk about Eli and Claire, which is sort of like a later generation of Degrassi. But they knew Degrassi Junior High. They watched it all. So right. it's you know, it's that thing that, like, either you're into it or you're not. You know, do you want to watch kids get embarrassed?
Yes. Let me ask you something about the Comic-Con racket that you get into, right? The circuit when you're doing those conventions and stuff. I've talked to people that sit there at those tables signing autographs and you know, selling 8x10s and whatever. And it's like, I feel like there's two types of people that do those conventions. There's the ones that just really, really enjoy the interaction. And there's the ones that are like, fuck, let's just hurry this shit up. I want to hurry this up as quickly as possible. Let's limit the interaction time as much as possible. People are asking me the most inane questions about season 1, episode 9. I don't know. Like,
see, that's the stuff I don't mind. I like it when if kids are coming up, or adults mostly, that, like, that had specific, and to be honest, I have not done a Comic-Con thing in like 2 years, 3 years now.
Yeah, sure.
I'd be happy to do it again at one point for sure. But I love that stuff. It's the only time you feel, because it can be lucrative, mm-hmm. you know, and you're selling headshots. And my biggest thing was, like, I'm actually really enjoying this. It's the people that should not be spending money on headshots from us. That's the thing that would freak me out a little bit, where I'm like, I can tell this person is spending too much money at this thing, and at the Comic-Con in general. And they, like, that freaked me out a little bit about the money that was being spent there by people that should not be spending money. If that makes any sense, you know, you're just like, I'm a little concerned for you, you know, and you want to spend some time with them and take pictures. And, you know, and then the, you know, these conventions, they're very serious about, like, you're going to be asked a lot of times to, like, can I take a picture? You can't do that. It messes up the whole system. So you feel like an asshole at the same time, because you're just like, okay, well, like, you know, Hitman Hart is like three down from you, and he's like, he's going to get upset, because that sets a precedence that you're like, actually, you know, oh, we're giving stuff away for free. Well, why is he so cheap? Whatever. And
Brett won't even look at you for less than $100.
that guy's intimidating. I found him very intimidating. Like, it was interesting.
He's his own biggest fan.
I guess so. Yeah. He sells a lot of headshots.
No one will ever mistake him for being on the list of sweetest people in entertainment. Okay.
No way.
It's Henry Winkler, it's Stefan Brogren, and it's Zac Efron. That's all.
I forgot Henry Winkler, and then at the very end, he gave me a hug, and his hair was so soft.
Okay, when you ran your fingers through his hair?
No, but he's about here on me, so, like, when we hugged, his head was right here. And I was just like, it's just like angel hair. It's beautiful. Trust me, I would have stroked his head, but that would have been inappropriate. So
he might have enjoyed that. He's a very gentle soul.
I just swear to God, it was just like, you know, and hopefully people feel this way about me at times, where I was like, God, you've grown up with this guy. And this is even before Barry came out. He said he was shooting Barry while we were doing this convention. No one had heard of it yet. And he said he can't really talk about it that much. But to see someone from your childhood embrace you that way was really, it was lovely, because they're not all like that. It's like, I would say 9 times out of 10, super awesome people at these things. Like, you know, you're sitting back with the other celebrities, and they all just want to talk. They all just want to, like, you know, they have breaks, and they're just like, hey, so what's Degrassi about? Oh, I know Degrassi. Okay, I know what that is. You know, it's like they're a Power Ranger or something like that. So you obviously know what they are. But
tell us a little bit about the experience, the Canada Walk of Fame. That must have been a real trip.
First of all, not that I'm done with things like that, you know, okay. But like award shows in general are very, I stress about them. And it's only when I get there do I have a really good time. But I had to make a speech, and I was like, but then I saw the broadcast, and they cut like 80% of it out. I was like, it was jokes. There were so many jokes in there. I had the best
time. Did they land the audience?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I had this whole thing about how, like, I, which is true, I actually auditioned for Joey Jeremiah, Right. And that Pat Mastriano was a monster and the ruiner of dreams. And I got a nice laugh from that, you know, lied about my age, said I was 27. Everyone loved it. Just these little things that I thought were cute. And like, it all got cut.
When you were a kid, did you resent Pat for taking the role that you wanted?
For only in the minute where I thought, oh, I'm not getting on this show.
Okay.
Because there were only so many characters that they were auditioning for, right? So there was Yik, there was Joey, there was Lucy. There were no Caitlins or Wheels yet, right? So they sort of rode around, like, they used these characters as a chance to see what people could do. And then I remember, like, there were these group auditions. They were, like, workshops. And Pat was the only one they were dealing with. And I was like, okay, well, I'm done. I'm not on this thing. It's like, it's so embarrassing that I even have to sit here because they have not asked me to do it. Like, you're doing scene work and things like that. They want to try to experiment with you. Didn't touch me. And I was like, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And then they ran out afterwards to ask me if I knew how to play an instrument. And they said, okay, we have a role for you. We have a role that we're going to develop for you. And so we'd love to talk to you about that. I'm like, what? So then I was super happy. I didn't resent him at all. But for that 1 minute, I'm like, fuck this Mastriani. You know, so after that, it was just like, I just want to do scenes with Pat, you know, you just want to do scenes with Pat and Neil and like be the Zip Remedy and things like that. So it was like, it was all super duper awesome. It was just a question of getting past that one moment where I'm like, oh, I'm not that, I'm this. Okay. And they also gave me the option, which was really not the best option. They said, you can either be called Snake or Slim. And I'm like, those are my options. I'm going to take Snake. I don't know why I don't know how to, am I a villain? Like, I didn't know what I was, but I'm not taking Slim. It sounds like I'm a jazz musician from the 1930s. I'm not doing that. Like, but Snake also didn't make a lot of sense either. It sounded like I'm in a biker gang whatever the reasoning was behind it, it all worked out.
It's funny how many people on that show had a cool nickname. Right? You had Snake, you had Wheels, you had Clutch, you had Spike, and then Joey. Yeah.
I'm going to say right now, we might have overdone it with the cool nicknames. I mean, we all went to school at one point. Did you have a lot of friends with nicknames?
Yeah, they're asshole.
Asshole. No, but you call them by their last name or a shortened version of their last name.
Yeah.
But Snake, Wheels, Clutch, like, I mean, come on. Like, that means these guys are going around saying, like, Don't call me Archie. Call me Snake. Just call me Snake.
It's like you guys are all stuck in fucking West Side Story.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're all going to break into dance and battle each other. But it was like I think we did talk. I think we joked about it a lot where it was just like, this is a lot of special names. But and also it's like those names aren't just suddenly like adopted by other people. That guy has to sell that name, right? So actually, Joey was part.
In nickname law, anytime a person gives themselves a nickname, that nickname can automatically not be taken seriously. It has to, like, a nickname must be bestowed upon you.
No one was going to Archie and going, hey, Snake. Hey, you should be called Snake. No, I don't think so. No, you're a snake. Hey, Clutch. Like your car, call you Clutch. You know, it's like
probably drove an automatic.
But the whole point is that like a person has to give themselves that nickname, you know, and it's That's the worst. So it's like, yeah, no, it became less and less. I think we like on Next Gen, we had Spinner.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Not a lot of the cute nicknames. It was like basically Spinner. And then like JT York, you know, like it'd be like, oh, that's how things happen. They get called by they initial you off, but like, no, you're not sitting there going like, I want to be called Rumble. Call me Rumble from now on.
Speaking of Clutch, when I was in high school and I liked watching Degrassi, the closest I ever felt was my cousin who just recently celebrated, I think 23 or 24 years of wedded bliss. Mm-hmm. She dated Clutch.
Oh, really?
I don't know how long it went. I don't think very long.
But like when he was Clutch?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have met him. His girlfriends. I mean, we all sort of hung out, so I don't know. He's an editor now, actually.
Is he?
Yes.
Does he drive a stick?
Yeah, he's called Stick now. They call him Stick. He's like, just call me Stick from now on, not Clutch.
So just to rewind for one quick sec, because I am curious, right? The Canada Walk of Fame, I know you say like it's a lot of stress. These awards shows, you get hacked up, you get edited. But like, do you ever look at it and go, I fell into this career and I've been, you know, really fortunate to have this amazing path that was laid out and, you know, have the opportunity to direct films and people are invested in my career. But did you have that moment of reflection where you said, holy shit, this is pretty cool, especially when you see some of the other names on that Walk of Fame?
Yeah, I mean, yes, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of reflection through this whole journey.
Sure.
You know, from the point of being like, I remember Pat and I saying goodbye to each other, another actor saying goodbye to each other that first season after Grass Junior High, going, well, this was the best summer job ever. And then you think it's not going to go again. And there's been no promise of that. And then they put it on after The Fresh Prince and it becomes a massive hit. And so then you have like, wow, reflection. And then you go, you do 5 years of it. And then, you know, Pat and I remember we were outside and he's like, and we're just going, you know, after today, it's like the last scene. It's like the last day. And he's like Joey and Snake, they're dead. Like they don't exist anymore.
Right.
It's like, wow, reflection. So you do that through your entire experience with this show. It is so amazing. And I was really, you know, I was really happy for Linda and Steven and how they also honored Kit Hood, who was passed in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
With his daughter coming to stage. And I got a little emotional. I did on stage when I was introducing them. And I didn't think I would, but I got a little emotional. I was really happy for this, for everyone involved. And it's such a big deal. It actually is a big deal. We've had so many milestones. And I guess, maybe I'm just not looking at it the right way. I don't get worked up, but I was definitely spending a lot of time stressing about what I had to say on stage. So like it starts at 3 and it went till midnight and we were the last ones up. So I had one glass of wine. I'm like running things through my head. The button on my tux popped. I'm like all these things where it's just like, and I talked to Stacey Mystician who played Caitlin about how like, it's just so much stress that you forget why you're there. And so it's only in retrospect. I'm like, yeah, it's super special. It's so great. Yeah. And amazing people, you know, and it's really cool. It's like, oh, Cardinale's here and Avril's right there. And, you know,
yeah,
it's kind of cool that like things like Roots are being honored, you know, and it's, more than anything else, I got worked up about it because I don't really get nervous about these things. I just get like, can we get this moving? I want to get up there now and get this done and then I can enjoy myself. And I at the same time, we have a lot of reunions with each other. So I see these people a fair amount, once or twice. When I see a fair amount, once or twice a year, it's not like they've completely disappeared. So it is one of those things where it's like, hey, if you see my buddy Samir walking through here, it's because I'm in his house right now.
You know who, you know who wouldn't?
Samir is an amazing director also. He was just finishing up on that new Chucky show. And he directed a lot of Degrassi as well.
Samir,
and, director. Yes.
Did he used to work at a studio on Cherry Beach? Over at Cherry Beach?
Did you work at a studio at Cherry Beach? Oh, he was, yeah, he directed Skins, the American Skins. So I think maybe. Before. Yeah, possibly. It's very possible. But yeah, that's that guy. He's my best friend. So. But I double booked myself. That's why I'm in his basement right now. We're supposed to have a Christmas get together. I'm like, I promise to do this podcast.
I love the fact that he's walking around behind you like you guys broke into the place, though.
Yeah, we might as well. It's going to be, this isn't our house. We don't know the people that live here.
Crazy Home Alone moment. You're like, shit, I knew there was a safe around here someplace.
He's just looking for stuff to steal. That's all it is.
Yeah. We won't take up much more of your time, but I want to ask you this because the diehards wouldn't be happy if I did.
And can I just say also, very honored about the Canadian Walk of Fame. It's an excellent thing that happened for Degrassi. Sure. I'm very proud of it. I don't want to blow it off by any means. I'm just saying, in the moment, I couldn't feel it completely because I wanted to get my part done. So that's all I want to say.
You know who wouldn't have given a shit about that moment and gotten stressed or anything like that? Somebody with the nickname fucking Snake. Okay.
And I was going all night.
Yeah,
I was
way like, to go. Way to go, Slim.
I was like going around there going like, when everyone dies, and I mean this for real, could you all start really just calling me Snake? I just want to be called Snake. That's my new name. That's my new nickname. It's the only way I'm getting up on that stage if I'm Snake for real.
I was going to ask you, because you mentioned Stacey Mystician, who's been a guest on this show before. She's absolutely lovely, ageless, and looks amazing. She posted some photos and recently posted a photo of a former co-star on Kids of Degrassi. And so I posted a comment on her social media and said, okay, here we go. Filming in 2024, Moms of Degrassi Street. Let's go. Which, of course, you know, some people sort of give a wink and a chuckle. But people are asking. Like, it feels like it's about time for another installment of something Degrassi. Is the franchise closed, Stefan? Or can it be reopened? Or has there been discussions of reopening that?
It can be reopened. It's a question of it getting done right, I think. It's like Star Trek a little bit. You can have 1,000 really like iterations of what it is, and I think you can make it work, but it just has to be in that universe. I think there have been people wanting to do a teen show and call it Degrassi, but it's not Degrassi. And so I think it just has to be right. And it's like, it's actually sort of, it is out of Linda and Steven's hands at this point. I mean, I think they get sort of like a blessing behind it. But Wildbrain, that owns the show, I know that they are, it is in the back of their minds to do it, but they know they have to do it right. So I think that everything has to align. It was pursued for a while there. I can't really talk. I had to sign an NDA.
Don't get sued.
But it would have been wicked. It would have been great. It would have been so much fun. And it wasn't the right time. And I think it came down to the corporate stuff, you know, in the States, nothing to do with here or Wildbrain or anything like that. But they were on track. Samir was actually maybe going to direct. This is a couple of years ago, but it was, I think it just has, it's the right, it has to be the right time. And I think that they will find the right time. I think you just have to know what the show's about. And it's like, you can have Snake as an adult on it. You can have like Jimmy is an adult or Emma, but you have to get back to what kids are going through. So it can't just be the adults of Degrassi. It has to be, make sure that it just has to be done right. And I think that, you know, that people get a chance to someone's going to pitch on it sooner or later and figure out to get the chemistry right on it, I think.
You mentioned a million iterations of Star Trek. Star Trek eventually went on without Shatner, without Patrick Stewart. Can we have a version of Degrassi that works without Stefan Brogren?
100% you can. You can 100%. Like, are the fans going to be pissed because I'm not there? Yes.
Yeah, they were pissed when William Shatner. They were pissed when William Shatner wasn't.
They will hate it at first, but then they'll learn to love it. I'm saying that, like,
don't say that honestly, last part because you had negotiating leverage up until that last line.
No, I mean, I get approached about it, but it is one of those things that I truly believe that if you're telling true embarrassing stories about growing up. Where adults don't walk in there like the dad from Leave It to Beaver and figure out everything for you. That's Degrassi. That's what it is. It's not sexy like a Euphoria. It is there's moments of the way they get to be cool, but it's mostly going through terrible moments of growing up, some which are large and some that are like, you know, I have a zit. But it's not the pretty picture. It's always the scandal of high school, the idea of like having to go through this stuff and trying to hide your puberty in lots of ways that makes Degrassi Degrassi. It's like, I was part of my speech actually was just talking about how it's a show about weirdos for weirdos in the sense that, you know, it's like kids would watch that and go, that's where I fit in, you know? And so like, that's what would make Degrassi. So you can make Degrassi again. You just have to make sure that it's coming from that right place, which is like first experiences. And if they do it right, they'll get kids that are age appropriate. Because if you're 27 playing 16, everyone smells it. And it's like having Amanda Steptoe, who played Spike, pregnant at 13 on the show. She hadn't even kissed a boy at that point. it makes a difference. It makes a difference in how you would deal with the embarrassment, the struggle, the strain of it. Like it changes the performance from for a young person. It's like, and I can't tell you how many times where I was dealing with actors on Degrassi that hadn't had their first kiss yet. And now we're being asked to have this pretty intense storyline. So, you know, it is one of those things where it's a, I'm being offered a whiskey, I think. but it is one of those things that, there you go. But it is one of those things that I think that's the way it can be done. And I stand by what I said. It's Star Trek. People will be pissed, but if they decide to move on, you can do Degrassi with brand new kids if it stays true to what it's supposed to be. Now, they'll be stupid if they don't get, you know, Jake Epstein to come and be a parent on that show, or Eli and Claire come back in some reiteration. Like, I'm talking about the later years, past the Drake years, whatever it is. And they'd be dumb not to have Snake back also, for that matter.
It's super simple. You just give all the kids superpowers.
Once again, exactly what Degrassi is about. Yeah. You know, it's like it's the weirdness of being a superhero.
We got to compete in this Marvel meta, Stefan. Listen, I know you're up against the clock and you want to get back to your celebration, but before you go, can you tell us a little bit about Twisted Neighbor? Because I remember you talking about this when you were first starting to kick off working on it, I believe,
I think that might have been even
to watch it yet, but
so you know what you're talking about is I did a movie called Obsessed to Death, which was very successful, and then I ended up doing this movie Twisted Neighbor it just came out a month ago on Tubi. Can't get it on Canadian Tubi, which is just so dumb. It's a tax credit thing. VPN it, but with the same actress Catherine Cahoot, who was in Obsessed to Death. We had such a great experience. She killed it in our audition again. She was the lead of this one now. I know we're going to do another one for sure. But basically, it's about this young girl that moves into a new neighborhood just outside New York. She's had to leave New York. No one knows why. It's because she's been sort of shamed out of her career because of something that her mother did. She's a mystery writer. Suddenly, people start dying in her neighborhood. And she's like, I can't control myself. I have to find out what's going on. It's like her inner instinct is to do it. And it turns out, there's a whole thing going on where the whole neighborhood are swingers and there are secrets. And when those secrets are revealed, you are removed. And it is, it's so funny, such an amazing cast. And it's really, really great. And I just finished on this one that I think is going to be, I've never done anything like it. And it's called $1 Billion Bluff. It's about this young girl, an influencer who sells herself online as being the daughter of a billionaire. But the truth is that she's the daughter of a maid. And that she takes these pictures in these mansions and wears their clothes and carries their Louis and their Pradas and so forth and sells herself as the billionaire's daughter, even though she basically helps clean these homes. And then one day she is kidnapped because they think she is a billionaire's daughter by these kidnappers who are a little bit, they didn't do their proper research, let's just say that. And so when it turns out that she's not a billionaire's daughter, they don't know what to do with her. So she decides to trade off. What she does find out though is once the news comes out that she might've been kidnapped, her likes and followers go up by millions. And suddenly she's like, wait a sec, I'll trade you. If you keep letting me get my followers, there's a thing where she needs to get a whole bunch of followers. She's like, if you can get my followers up to 5 million people, I have the codes for all these homes and we can break in there and rob these homes for everything. And so that's the trade-off. That's the setup for the show. And it is fun as fuck. It is so fun.
Nice. A lot of social media drops in a lot of your work, right?
Yeah, honestly, it's same with the Twisted Neighbor. It's like there's this whole neighborhood app thing and I think because of Obsessed to Death, I really got into if you're going to do stuff on social media, it's got to feel like a character in it. So I'll have it appear in the world and it has to move in the world in a way that feels organic. And so I think I did that once and now they're like, hey, give Stefan the ones with the social media, he'll make that work. They don't have to.
Did you have the whole cast of Twisted Neighbor get into character and do character study by hanging out at the Oasis Sex Club in Toronto? Was that part of their homework?
No, he just hired actual swingers.
Yeah, they're all swingers, right? So do they have to do some character study?
You know, that's their, I don't like to get involved in their process.
So they're not messing.
I was like, what's Oasis? oh, that's a real place. Yeah, but it's a real place. Yeah, no, I just because there were some people getting tied up. There's definitely some S&M in it. There's a guy who's a cam boy. There's a lot of things in it where they did their own research and they did really well. And it's really funny, I gotta say. It's a thriller, but it's got the best sense of humor.
This is my last question. Then if Tid has something else, we'll let you go. But my last question for you is this. As a director, where do you find the bigger challenge? Is it with the heartwarming, sometimes schmaltzy Christmas flicks? Or is it with these more psychologically intense films? Because horror fans and psychological thriller fans, they are a tough audience, right?
But I mean, so are the Christmas poop movie people.
That's what I mean. So what's
and so are the tougher challenge? And so are teens that what honestly, it's different muscles. You're just using different muscles, right? So when I go in thriller mode, I go in like, okay, so we can open up to all these ideas and language and we can, you know, I can have different conversations with the actors or the art department about how we can like, oh, we can have like if there's a dungeon in this one, we can have weird sex toys and that's okay. So you want to make sure that you, first of all, my whole thing is like the toughest things with thrillers is the logic. So as long as the performances are fun and true, then a viewer will bypass that, you know, like it's definitely like this, the Twisted Neighbor is very much it's Murder, She Wrote on acid, basically. And it's like, so, but there's so many, if you look deep into it, you're like, wait, does that really make sense? You're not thinking that way because you're enjoying the ride so much. And that show's done so well for Tubi, which is great. And I think there's a pattern in place that, you know, you want to satisfy in certain ways in a thriller. And then a Christmas movie, you want to make sure that it feels legit. And also Christmas movies, I think, are becoming the good ones. They're allowing them to be smarter. And I did a Christmas movie for Tubi, which was super fun. And I did a Valentine movie for Hallmark. And I enjoyed them so much, but the stress is the same because it's just a different muscle, right? So it's like the meet cute has to work in a way that feels like not cheesy. And that's really hard to do when that's basically that everyone knows what a meet cute is at this point. So it's like, you want to try to find ways that are feeling fresh, and because the first thing they'll do is they'll piss on it. They'll piss on that Christmas movie.
The movie called Meet Cute that came out earlier this year was Dog Water.
Oh, was it?
I really love the people in it too. Pete Davidson and
I haven't seen it. Yeah.
But it's just, you know what? It's Chance for Christmas as a first date. That's what it is.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
It's the
never ending loop. Yeah.
Russian doll.
Yep, exactly. So they're difficult. They're the Christmas movies, especially I think at a certain level, there's an expectation from an audience and they can smell it because they go, they did this in the last one I saw 2 minutes ago, you know, like you have to sort of be able to find a new version of fun, I think it doesn't feel easier. It's just like through different things. I'm getting the cue. The lights are going down.
Claymation. Claymation is where it's at for Christmas.
I'm going with claymation for
nothing else, right? And I'm telling you, that's the spectrum for all of it. You'd bring back Degrassi, claymation.
Oh, you have no idea. I'm telling you, like, listen, Pat and I have conversations. We have conversations, and where you could go, like Degrassi After Dark, sort of thing. You know, like it's. But yeah, so like this, like you said, Star Trek, hot broom heads,
not
that'll get an audio. Oh, not broom heads.
Language. All right. I know you got to go. Let me just say this. The last time you were on this show, we had a quick talk because we were like on the eve of the Mandalorian popping off.
So right.
I'm going to make a film recommendation for you. I don't know if it's on your radar yet, but it releases officially nationwide tomorrow, December 22nd. I just saw a screener, The Iron Claw.
Oh, wait. What does that have to do with Star Wars?
It's nothing. It's my recommendation du jour.
Oh, no. It looks like it's going to be amazing. Iron Claw. Like, it looks fantastic.
Phenomenal, Stefan.
Yeah.
No. It's going to win everything.
I heard, and my favorite show of last year was The Bear. So, what's his name?
Who's in it? Jeremy Allen White.
Lip. Yeah, just so good. So good.
It's just Lip. I don't care what you say. It's just Lip. When I saw The Bear, it was Lip as a chef.
but it's still just lip. It's so good. I love that dude.
You know what? Zac Efron, I used to just like loathe him with like High School Musical.
No. He's making moves, you know? He's so like
talented.
Yeah. Yeah. He's incredible. I think he's probably going to get some stuff for it.
Oh my God.
And my
kid and I have been familiar with that story, the Von Erich wrestling family. We've known that story since it was actually happening. And now spreading that story to a wider audience that wasn't familiar. Like, you don't need to be a wrestling fan to enjoy this movie. It's so well done. Like, it's
so what Donnie's saying is that the Iron Claw is this year is Mandalorian. You're the one who segued from the Mandalorian into Iron Claw. And I was like,
we were excited about it at the time. And now this is the new thing to be excited about that's coming out.
I am excited to see it. I will absolutely see it.
Yeah. Enjoy. I want to hear your thoughts on it afterwards.
Okay. For sure.
Stefan, thank you so much. We took up so much of your time, but thanks for hanging out with us.
No problem. All right. Have a good night, guys.
All right.
Thanks, brother.
Stefan Brogren, everybody.
Well, there you go.
Hey.
Fantastic.
We actually took up way more of his time than he had because he's in the middle of a Christmas get together. But
yeah, they were shutting out the lights on him. They were like, listen. We have accommodated your ability to do this silly show that you're going to be doing as a make-a-wish for these two assholes.
Yeah, now we're going to
bed. At the end of the day, we've only thrown in 50 cents into the electrical box. The hamsters are tired, and we're shutting down the lights. I don't know if you saw me brushing my teeth. This part of the party is over. You don't have to, you don't have to stop what you're doing, but you can't do it here no more. Wow. Unbelievable.
Always great to have him on. I'm such a fan of his work. Yes. Obviously, I was a huge fan of his growing up, and continue to be. And it's nice to have the opportunity over the last few years through this show and through his wife Michelle to get to know him a little bit. You know, it's nice
You know what? I'm glad that he's back to, you know, back to work steady. I was talking to him off air.
Before we started, we were talking about
the strike and how it affected him as well. And there's this massive trickle down effect. You know, they got blasted through it too, and now it's gonna be a while before they're back up to speed because everybody's trying to juggle now and shuffle. So it's a whole new set of problems. But at least everybody's back to work. You know, and good for that.
It's the last episode of the year for us. Next week, I will be heading down south to visit family and spend New Year's down there. I wanted to take a second, though, just to reflect on 2023 as it was for the Godfathers of Podcasting. I think this is actually pretty wild when you think about the range here of different guests, Tid, that have been on this show this year. Listen to this, okay? I'm just going to run it down real fast. John Angus McDonald from The Trues, Altered by Mom, Brendan Brown from Wheatus, the lead singer of Wheatus, Reverend Bob Levy, rocker Ron Hawkins from Lowest of the Low, Grammy-winning voice actor Eric Bauza, former Howard Stern producer Shuli Agar, future Olympic boxer Scarlett Delgado, television film star Larry Hankin, rapper, princess superstar, comedian Uncle Hack, pro wrestler Santino Marella, catfish hunter Chad Huber, iconic rock star Biff Naked, TikTok mogul Gary the Barbecue Chef, comedian Renee Percy, comedian Jeff Leeson, filmmaker Kwame Damon Mason, comedian Mike Morris, actor Brady Wedham, boxing Hall of Famer Spider Jones, NBA tough guy Gary Trent, reality TV star Godfrey Manguiza, comedian Brett Forte, former Stern Show producer Casey Armstrong, comedian Jeremy Hotz, former pro wrestler and Dwayne The Rock Johnson's uncle Ricky Johnson, comedian Joey Medina, reality star Christmas Abbott, comedian Mark Anthony Sinagoga, wrestler Cody Diener, reality star Memphis Garrett, reality star Nicole Layog, broadcaster Mertz Jaffer, singer Tiffany Fabiani, NCAA basketball coach Chris Kraus, Canadian fitness icon Hal Johnson, author Humberto Da Silva, legendary DJ starting from scratch, former Naked News star and social media influencer Jackie Childs, and Canadian acting legend Stefan Brogren. That is a hell of a 2023.
What was your favorite one?
It's really tough. The one that jumps out off the page to me, and I think we talked about this a lot when it happened, is Jeremy Hotz.
Is that just for your fanboyness?
Yeah, because I was just a massive, massive fan of his comedy, right? Like, going back to high school and college, I had cassette tapes of his work that I would listen to until the tape ripped. You know, just play, rewind, play again. And then, like, I wore the tape out. I listened to his act so many times. I had the whole act memorized, including his cadences. So when he was on the show, and he was hilarious, and he was engaging, and he was fun. Definitely a highlight for the year. It's so hard, though, right, to pick a favorite. What about you? Did you have a favorite that stood out from that list?
Episode 139.
The hell was that?
Episode 139, we had two guests on that day. That would have been young Brady Wedham, my co-host and partner from the Marijuanders and the Law and the other things that we do, and as well as comedian Mike Morse stopped by. But episode 139, if you go back, those of you that want to go back and see some funny stuff, go back to episode 139, because it was the first time in the history of any of this that Donnie DeSilva has actually let down his guard enough to partake in a little bit of cannabis and cannabis
weed.
Well, you had way too much edibles and drink and whatnot on top of it. But the episode itself was fantastic because it's hilarious. First of all,
that high.
And secondly, the part that was the best for me.
Yeah.
Was the fact that you were completely out of your shell. You were completely out of the norm, out of your element. And it was good to see you like that. So for me, episode 139, go back, take a look at it. You will laugh. It's probably one of our longest. You got a show. I wish it was a soft shell, and I wish you were a crab, and I wish you were on sushi at a Japanese restaurant, because that meant that you had been boiled in water.
You just want to eat me.
Well, it's whatever it took to shut you the fuck up with that thing. That's really what it boils down to. Speaking
of soft shell crab. Do you have a favorite guest from 2023, other than the moment of me getting stoned out of my skull?
No, favorite guest, no, because I mean, every one of them have been fantastic in their own way each and every week.
Sure.
You know what I mean? What we go through.
That's not fair. You put me on the spot.
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite guest was you. Was Stone you. Yeah, I am. And you know what? My New Year's resolution. Have you made a New Year's resolution, Donnie? Are you one of those guys?
Yeah, I am. I make a New Year's resolution every year on January 1st, and by January 3rd, it's over.
Oh, yeah?
So my New Year's resolution is to not abandon my New Year's resolution.
Huh. All right.
I mean, listen, I'm one of these people who is constantly trying to better myself. I'm constantly trying to work on myself. I'm trying to constantly be a better version of myself. I don't wait for the turn of the calendar to then go, okay, now it's time to focus. Like, that's never been my thing, but yes, I do join in as part of the annual ritual with so many other plebeians. And I go, okay, this is the year I'm gonna do X. And then I do it for a few days, and then I slide backwards into habits. I don't know. What about you? Do you make resolutions?
Not at all.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Not at all. I mean, the train has left the station. It's off the tracks, and it's wandering out into the fucking woods at this point. So, I mean, there is going to be no resolution.
I resolve to drink more scotch.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You should.
Yeah.
You know? I resolve to try. More. How about that? That's my resolution. To try. What? Try. That's try. It. That's it. Just to try.
Do simple. Or do not. There is no try.
Brother. All right. Well, there you go. Listen, Before we go, I want to let everybody know that it is the Christmas season. And since it is the Christmas season, you know, there is, according to doctors and researchers, there is a higher risk of penile fractures this time of year. So be very careful with the Christmas sex. The doctors don't need to see you in the emergency room.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about the fact that there is actual scientific proof that this time of year, when everybody is having their Christmas sex so they can have their summer babies, the injury of penile fractures happen a lot more often. The injury tends to occur during wild sex, particularly in positions where they're not in direct eye contact with your partner, such as reverse cowgirl, according to a doctor and a urologist.
Have you ever broke your dick?
Have I ever?
Yeah. Or felt like you broke it?
In the moment? That's the worst. Felt like it? Yes. Actually broke it? Obviously not. Felt like it. And you know what I mean? When you hit that... That whatever it's called, the taint,
right?
You know, right in between when you're making it good. You're making the quick adjustment from one to the other, and you miss it.
No, those quick adjustments are deadly. Just don't make a quick adjustment.
Yeah,
no. I got told that. You know, we know these guys, longtime members of the wrestling world, and also members of the event planning world, the Megan twins, many years ago, probably 2004, 2005, they had an event they invited me out to. And one of their guests of honor was my favorite athlete of all time, Dennis Rodman. Wild that I got to sit there chatting it up with Dennis Rodman, because I'm a huge fan, massive fan. And he starts saying to me, because we're looking at each other, he's an inch and a half taller than I am. He's like, "You're a big motherfucker." And I'm like, "Yeah, mostly fuck small girls." I'm like, well, at the time I'm married, right? And I'm like, well, my wife is 5'3". And he's like, "Yeah, you got to be careful. You're going to break your dick." I'm like, "Oh." And he goes, "Yeah, I broke my dick with Carmen Electra." And he starts detailing to me how he broke his dick. Like literally had to go to the hospital, and I'm like, did they cast it? They can't cast the dick, motherfucker.
No,
he's out of commission for a while.
It's like busted ribs.
Yeah.
Off you go.
He's like, you don't want to watch anything that's going to give you a semi, because it hurts like hell.
Could you imagine if they just came out with like air casts for cocks? You know what I mean? Like those Aircast boots that they have.
Well, you know what they have, right? If you go to like a sex shop, they sell those kits where you can clone your dick and give it to someone as a gift. So like if you paper mache your dick, couldn't you technically turn that into like a dick cast? Like maybe put some rebar in there?
I mean, you probably could. Now, here's the question. Have you ever had a broken bone, like a broken arm or a broken leg or anything like that? Or known anybody who did? Any kids or anything like that? And when they go to get that cast off, how do they get the cast off?
Ooh, with the fucking saw.
Yeah, exactly. So are you going to take the chance of being like, yeah, no, look at this. Listen, I don't even think Steve-O is doing that bullshit. I'm going to cast up my dick so that I can possibly take the saw to the top of it. Because you don't want to take it to the bottom of it, because you end up filleting that thing like a fucking hot dog at a carnival ride.
Take a little slice off the chorizo.
You know, like right down the middle, zip. You imagine
to lay that thing open
precision. Yeah, no thank you.
All right, you know what, I think we've just about talked this one to death, but hey, everyone out there, if you're Christmas sexing, don't break your dicks. Be careful. We want your dicks intact for 2023 or 2024.
Yes,
we want audience members with completely functioning penile.
Well, 2024 is year of the dick. I don't know if you know.
Oh, is that right? Is that what it is on the Chinese calendar?
Yes. It's the year of the dick on the.
I thought it was rabbit, but it's dick.
Yeah, on the Russian calendar. I don't know what it is on the Chinese calendar. On the Russian calendar, it is year of the dick.
The Russian calendars every year were dicks. We will take Ukraine.
That's right.
Every year.
If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank once again Stefan Brogren for hanging out with us. I want to thank all of you for hanging out with us. It's been a lot of fun. This entire past year has been a lot of fun, and all the years prior to this one that we've been doing this with all of y'all, it's been a lot of fun. Lots more content coming up in 2024, lots more fun things to come. Make sure you email us info@godfathersofpodcasting.com. 437-375-2000 is our 24-hour text number. You can always message us. Give us your feedback. Give us your thoughts on the show. Tell us who you'd like to see on the show as a guest. Give us your feedback on what you'd like to see us do on the show. Whatever it is, tell us we suck. Tell us that, you know, Tid's the good-looking one and I'm the smart one. That's fine. Whatever you want to say, send us your feedback and your thoughts. info@godfathersofpodcasting.com, 437-375-2000. And we hope to hear from you, and we will see you next year.
Peace.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
All right, then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.